Note, for a copy of the guide to prayer referenced in today's sermon, please contact office at glcssm.org. That's office at glcssm.org.
Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has was passed out. I invite you to open it now. This little booklet that was presented to you today by the ushers was a response of Dr. Martin Luther to Peter Beckensdorf, a barber, and an old friend of Luther, who had asked Luther to teach you how to pray. So Luther wrote this little pamphlet called How One Should Pray for Master Peter the Barber. Luther's instruction to prayer can be boiled down to this. He says, pray the catechism. It has been said that the small catechism is the only one in the world that can be prayed. And this is exactly what Luther intends. But the catechism is not just an instruction book. It is that. But as Luther says in the Ten Commandments, it is a school text, a song book, an essential book, and a prayer book. Now I invite you to take this insert and turn to page 9 with me. And there you will see this under the heading, Praying the Ten Commandments, a garland of four strands. Now Luther has talked in the past about how to pray the Lord's Prayer, and that is instructful that I have for you, and I pray that all of you would read through this, but not now. Now I draw your attention to the first paragraph where Luther says, if he goes through the Lord's Prayer, then he does the same if he has time with the Ten Commandments. He takes one part after another, and free myself as much from as possible from distractions in order to pray. And then he says this very insightful and helpful thought. I divide each commandment into four parts. Thereby, he says, fashioning a garland of four strands. That is, I think of each commandment as first instruction, which is what it is really intended to be, and consider what the Lord demands of me so earnestly. Second, I turn it into a thanksgiving. Third, a confession. And fourth, a prayer. So we have instruction, thanksgiving, confession, and prayer. And now I invite you to look down just below that to the first commandment. And there we shall meditate briefly on the first commandment to see how we might utilize this in our daily life. You have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above everything. Now Luther says, when he meditates upon this, he says, I am the Lord your God. You have no other gods before me. Now that doesn't mean you can have other gods beside him. You just have no other gods in his face. Here Luther goes on to say, I earnestly consider that God expects and teaches me to trust him sincerely in all things. What a hard thing that is to learn. But it is his most earnest purpose to be my God. I must think of him in this way at the risk of losing eternal salvation. My heart must not build upon anything else or trust in any other thing, be it wealth, prestige, wisdom, might, piety, or anything else. Secondly, I give thanks for his infinite compassion, by which he has come to me in such a fatherly way, unasked, unbidden, and unmerited, has offered to be my God, to care for me, and to be my comfort, guardian, help, and strength in every time of need. We poor mortals, Luther says, have sought so many gods that we have to seek him still. If he did not enable us to hear him openly tell us in our own language that he intends to be our God, how could we ever in all eternity thank him enough? insincere confidence. Well, that may seem kind of strange to us coming from the man who wrote the Small Catechism. Nevertheless, it is certainly useful for us today to think in like manner. Now I invite you to go down the bottom of the page, on page 10, to the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Luther says, I learned from this, first of all, that the Sabbath day has not been instituted for the sake of my being idle or indulging in worldly pleasures, but in order that we may keep it holy. However, it is not sanctified by our words and actions. Our words are not holy, but by the word of God, which is alone holy, pure, and sacred, and which sanctifies everything it comes in contact with, be it time, place, person, labor, rest. If we could thus think of the third commandment, we would have to probably build on an addition for all those people who would clamor to come and hear the graciousness of God. Secondly, this is on page 11. I thank God in this commandment for his great and beautiful goodness and grace which he has given us in the preaching of his word. And he has instructed us to make use of it, especially on the Sabbath day, for the meditation of the human heart can never exhaust such a treasure. And so on. Where this precious and saving word is absent, Luther says, nothing remains but a fearsome and terrifying darkness, error and faction, death and every calamity, and the tyranny of the devil himself, as we can see with our own eyes every day. Third, I confess and acknowledge great sin and wicked ingratitude on my part, because all my life I have made disgraceful use of the Son, and thereby despised his precious and dear word in a wretched way. I have been too lazy, listless, and uninterested to listen to it, let alone to have desired it sincerely, or to have been grateful for it. I have let my dear God proclaim his word to me in vain, and dismissed the noble treasure, and trampled it underfoot. He has tolerated this in his great and divine mercy, who has not ceased in his fatherly divine love and faithfulness to keep on preaching to me and calling me to the salvation of my soul. For this I repent and ask for grace and forgiveness. Fourth, I pray for myself and for the whole world that the gracious Father may preserve in us his holy word and not withdraw it from us because of our sin, ingratitude, laziness. May he preserve us from factious spirits and false teachers, and may he send faithful and honest laborers into his harvest, that is, devout pastors and preachers. May he grant us grace humbly to hear, accept, and honor their words as his own words, and to offer our sincere thanks and praise. Finally, I invite you to turn with me to the second article of the Creed on page 18 and 19. And here we see our gospel. How such a life of prayer and how such a life of coming to God in prayer all actually soothes our souls and our hearts and lives, as well as points out our sin and leads us to confession. The second article, of course, is that of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says first, again a great light shines forth and teaches us how Christ, God's Son, has redeemed us from death, which after the creation has become our lot through Adam's fall, and in which we would have perished eternally. Just as in the first article you were to consider yourself one of God's creatures and not doubted, now you must think of yourself as one of the redeemed and never doubt that. Emphasize one word above all others. For instance,